Welcome to Two Titans and a Hunter, a Destiny 2 podcast. A show where we discuss tips, tricks, and tools to help all Guardians succeed and enjoy playing more. What makes us different? Well, we are not streamers or YouTubers, we just have a passion for Destiny, and are dedicated to keeping Guardians informed and up to date with all the latest Destiny 2 information, news, and opinions. We encourage your questions and feedback. You can contact us either by email at twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com or on Twitter at @twotitans_hunter. Now, on with the show. Today, I am joined by a Titan whose Ward of Dawn skills are legendary and only rivaled by Saint 14 himself. The other is a hunter whose insults, banter, and gun skill could only be comparable to the Drifters. I'm your host, Night Demon. Parody, Respawn. Let's get into it. So the last word, exotic quest update. So I just put this in there. If you haven't jumped into the Crucible since the launch of the last word, exotic quest, now would be a good time to do so, as many of the players who are seeking this coveted reward have now moved on, and the new sandbox is in full swing, and the game has opened up more and slightly easier for players to get in the Crucible now. Because it might be easier for people to jump into normal Crucible to just do the kill part of it and then jump into the Crimson Day playlist to do the Blood for Blood and the Best Served Cold medals. So if you are on part 7 of the quest, where it contains multiple steps for obtaining the weapon, it's 50 tokens earned through Hive Precision Kills, 3 Heroic Witch Summoning Ritual Events, 15 Lost Sector Escapees killed, and the 25 Blood for Blood, or Best Served Cold medals. Something to point out is that precision kills don't guarantee the token drops that people have been noticing from the Hive precision kills. And I'm going to link two videos for that. There's the Houndish Guide, again, for people that missed it last week, and Cool Guy put a really good guide and weapon breakdown with armor builds, which is very interesting. I mean, he mentions the Lion Rampants for the Titan and the Lucky Pants for the Hunter, because apparently it's got a perk on the Lucky Pants that helps with the stability of the last word. And he, in the video, he shows you that where he shoots it against the wall, the bloom doesn't take into effect as much, so it really helps with shooting.
Yeah, the Lucky Pants, they increase the hand cannon ready speed and the initial accuracy, which sounds perfect for the last word.
Yeah, but that also means that you have to have another weapon equipped before you can use the last word, right? I mean, in the Crucible, who's going to run around with their special weapon or their secondary primary weapon when they got a last word?
Oh, you, well, we can get onto that later, which secondary weapon that you should be using, because we've done a lot. I've done a lot of tests this week with watching a lot of YouTubers recommend some weapons, and then there's been some secret weapons that nobody's really talking about that are or have just been brought up, which are really good to use. Another thing that I wanted to bring up from, I think, this week at Bungie for the 7th of February is that they're doing another Bungie bounty. So Bungie will be hosting a Bungie bounty to celebrate the event, Crimson Days. So come watch Cosmo and Deej dive into Crimson Days playlist on PlayStation 4. So this will be on Thursday, 14th of February, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we'll link that in the show notes if anybody does want to watch that. And if you find them and you beat them, you can claim the Sign of Mutual Combat emblem.
You got to find the match. You got to get lucky enough to find the match where they're actually playing. And you have to win. That's basically it. You know, it's not just you got to be in the match with them. You have to be in the match with them and you have to kill them in order to get this thing.
Which none of us will be doing because none of us are PlayStation 4 players, unfortunately. So those of you out there on a PS4, load up, load in. Especially if you're out there on the West Coast where they are, hopefully you'll get a better chance of getting in. Go hunt down some Bungie players for us.
Why are the guys working for Bungie only using PlayStation? They should have a guy on PlayStation. They should have a guy on Xbox. Guy, I'm using the general term. Don't get all hot pocket on me, okay? They should have a person on Xbox, a person on PlayStation, and a person on PC. That way everybody can get the chance at this quote-unquote exclusive emblem. Right, it's bad enough it's only on one. It's bad enough that you have to get lucky enough to actually come across these guys and beat them, but the fact that it's only on one out of three different playing platforms is ridiculous.
No, I do agree with you, but they do rotate through the different platforms and they do rotate through different content creators. But I agree with
in
you.
In different countries as well. Because, like, you know, there's a situation we've got. You and I are on the U.S. East Coast. Night Demon's out over in Europe. If you're not in that area, I mean, heck, the Australian guys, they've got to wait till, you know, once a year when someone in Australia gets to be the bounty. Otherwise, you're never going to match up with those folks unless you can jump into a, you know, do a party with some other folks in the country on the platform where it's taking place.
I think that's around 8 to 10 p.m. UK time. And if I'm not mistaken, about 7 o'clock in the morning for the Aussies. So, yeah, it's a little bit harder for us to matchmake. And I think you stand a lot better chance if you are in the, is it Seattle area where they play, that you can get a match.
Yeah, right. Because not only the time zone difference, but, you know, just, yeah, being physically closer geographically, you know, they're out in Seattle on the U.S. West Coast. Most likely you over in the U.K. are not going to be in the same server in the same game. Even if you load in, you know, if you hit that button to join the queue, the moment they do, you've got a, you know, zero or next to zero chance of matching up with them because you're nowhere geographically near them.
But Bungie bounties exist and they do happen. Just thought we'd let you know about it. Another thing from the this week at Bungie, the iron price. So in the pursuit of an even playing field for all players, they're updating the Iron Banner bounties so that they will expire following the launch of each new season in Destiny 2. So, for example, completed Iron Banner bounties retained from Season of the Forge will be removed entirely from the player's inventory once the Season of the Drifter begins. To avoid losing these potential rewards, we recommend that players redeem the powerful rewards from all sources before Season of the Forge ends. Which is quite nice that they're actually telling us, because I remember in Destiny 1, I kept quite a few of the Iron Banner bounties when they swapped over, and they completely removed them from your inventory with no explanation and no heads up about it. Otherwise, I would have cashed them in at the time. So it's nice that they're actually telling us this time.
Yeah, I feel like every time like a new content drop or new DLC comes out, there's always the question. It's like you see the YouTubers being like, keep these, don't keep these, you know, trying to sort of soothsay any little bit, you know, that Bungie or Cosmo or Deej drops, you know, are we going to keep these, you know, or should we turn them in? And then there's a lot of discussion with the new raid that dropped, you know, people were able to sort of power level quickly because they had a bunch of bounties they were able to turn in sort of day one when Forsaken dropped. I think they're doing away with that.
From what I've heard, is anything that the people have been able to keep from the last season over to Season of the Forge, Bungie have recognized that the raid keys, the Iron Banner bounties, and I think spider bounties and things like that, where people were able to hoard all those engrams or bounties to turn in to get powerful engrams, they've decided they're going to take those away from people so that the progression is going to be slower for people to reach the max of 700 for Season of the Drifter. So I think they want to get people all on an even playing field. They don't want people to have reached like the 650 that this happened and be able to just kind of rocket straight into the raid, because people were in that raid race at 650, and I think they wanted people in maybe at 630 just to experience the difficulty, but that didn't happen. So I think this time they're going to make sure that they can restrict what you save. So basically what they're saying is don't hoard up anything. I think I've seen a couple of YouTube videos where people have said if you want to kind of get to that level or nearer that level before Season of the Drifter starts, do like 90% of your clan bounties, because once the Season of the Drifter comes, you could do one bounty for your clan and then it will tick over and you've got that on really quickly. I think that's the only thing that you can do, is get to that stage of nearly completing something. I think they also said that they're going to remove if you saved, because people were able to go to the different planets the 4 or 5 weeks before and do the powerful bounties on the planets and leave those powerful bounties at the vendors for each planet and then just went round and collected those. I think they're going to remove those as well. So make sure that you pick those up once you've done them, unless they come out and say that they're not doing that. But I think listening to a couple of YouTubers and looking on Reddit, that's what they're going to do, is they're going to remove every possible chance of people edging that progression on that first day, so that everyone's on an even playing field and we can just jump straight into the new DLC and get going from there. I don't think they're going to repeat what they did with the Season of the Forge, where it started off with going into that forge at 610 and everybody was at 600 and they're like, whoa, we can't even do this forge. I think they've taken note of that So with the season of the Drifter, they'll make sure that we can get into whatever activities are to start off with and slowly build up our power.
Because before, they had said that you're going to have your bounties, right? They weren't going to just remove them from your inventory or expire them, right? What they had said is when you get a bounty, it's going to level lock that bounty right where you picked it up. That way, even if you carry it into the next season, you're not going to get more powerful gear. You're just going to get the gear from last season at the power level that you were going to get whenever you picked it up initially, right? It's like a powerful Engram, but in bounty form, you know? That's what they said that they were going to do, which I would have been fine with, right? You want to hang on to it till the next season, maybe turn them all in, get some of the new weapons, right? Even if the weapons are locked at that light level, at least you get the new weapon. But they're...
That's what they're doing for Prime Engrams, isn't it? If anyone's hoarding Prime Engrams, anything that drops now at 650, they won't be able to leave it in their postmaster or on their persons and get that to open up and be higher.
That's true. But they were also doing the same thing for the bounties, because what happened last time is the bounties that were carrying them over, like what you said. But they were saying that to prevent that, they were just going to level lock the bounties where you picked them up. You can still hang on to the bounties. They won't expire, but you can't get powerful gear beyond the 650 light level for this season with them. I like that better, because if you just want to hang on to your bounties for whatever reason, right? But the fact that you said that they're going to expire them, that's actually a little upsetting, you know?
But then everybody's on an even playing field when we jump into this new season, which is good.
Are they going to expire them, though, in that you don't get the drop from this anymore, or expire them in the, you know, we're going to send your stuff to the postmaster locked at the level?
Just going to be removed. The bounties are just going to be removed. It would be if they auto-completed and just either sent them to your inventory or postmaster.
Right. Because
if you do that and people have hoarded stuff in their postmaster and you've got 5 or 6, 7 bounties suddenly decrypt and go straight to the postmaster, and that shoves out something that somebody's holding, you know, at least people have got time to turn those bounties in. Plus, I think we've got another Iron Banner before Season of the Drifter.
Yeah, we should have one more. But still, I don't think they should make them expire and make them disappear. Because what if, like you guys who mainly play your Titans, you have some things on your Warlock and your Hunter that you just forget about, right? You're not on those characters very much. You forgot about the fact that you had bounties on those characters. You go off playing your Titan for whatever. Season starts over. You've just lost all the work that you did with those characters just because you forgot to go back on them and get them. You know,
this is why we're doing the public service announcement now, so that I know and you know and we all remember and everybody else could join and remember.
Remember what?
Exactly.
Okay.
That so anything you've lost at your postmaster is just not that important. You will get another one, or you can pull it out of your collections. It will be fine.
Now, the next part you have on here is unbreaking the key mold. Okay, so since mid-January, Destiny Player Support has monitored an issue with the Black Armory key mold is available from 8-1 only on a player's first character that unlocks it, right? This pursuit item is required to earn Izanagi's Burden, the kind of cool exotic sniper rifle, .. And some players have become blocked from unlocking this weapon on their character of choice. Because, like you said, it's only the first character that you get it on. That's it. You're done. With the upcoming release of Destiny 2, Update 2.2.0, tentatively scheduled for early March, again, still not official just yet, we expect the issue to be resolved. As always, Destiny Player Support will monitor for player reports in the hashtag help forum once Update 2.2.0 goes live.
And we'll link that in the show notes, the Bungie help forums.
Yes, fine. At this point in time, if you can't figure it out, it is what it is. This, to me, at this point, should be an irrelevant issue.
No, it's not an irrelevant issue because I am suffering from this.
Why?
Because I've unlocked the key mold for the forges on every character, but I was only able to pick up the pursuit for the Izanami's Burden on my Titan, and I had to get
the rare bounty, right?
The rare bounty.
Right, yeah, that's the rare bounty.
I had to get a rare bounty to continue. I got a rare bounty. It was to do the raid or the Shattered Throne.
Right.
But on my Hunter, I had a rare bounty that was just do public events, just do strikes, kill people. It was a very easy one to do. On the same week that the Shattered Throne was on, but I didn't have the next part of the Izanami's quest on the Hunter, so I had to then go onto the Titan and do it the hard way. I don't see how that's fair, because it should be for every character, as soon as I unlock those forges for every character.
Right. It's not about being fair. That's not why I said it was irrelevant. I said it's irrelevant because at this point in time, you've gone on your other character and you've done it.
Nope.
AKA, most nope. people that have it right now have the ability to take care of it on at least one of their characters, right? Having it on all of the characters at this point in time, it doesn't make any sense to me. This should have been a problem they fixed in, like, immediately. Not yes. however long it's been, right? Because now I've already got it. I had to wait, 4 weeks? Because I got it the day after the last full curse week, right? I got it the day after, and I completed it the same day. So I had to wait another 3 weeks before I could actually get the Izanagi, the burden, right? But jumping back into that, everybody has an option to do it on at least one of their characters at this point. Is it fair? No, it's not fair. I agree. It's not fair. But at this point in time, too much time has passed for it to still be a thing. You know?
The problem that I had was that I didn't get the rare bounty on my Titan until the day after the Shattered Throne disappeared.
Right.
So, and I'd had a rare bounty on my Hunter drop earlier in that week. But I couldn't continue the quest on my Hunter. And I could have, and got into the Shattered Throne and done that part of the quest and got the sniper. When it rolled around, I had, I think it was 3 hours left on the bounty. When the Shattered Throne rolled around 3 weeks later, I jumped into the Shattered Throne. I thought, that's it. I don't want to do 2 Shattered Thrones this week, because I had never done a raid. So I didn't want to just jump into a raid and hope that the bounty stayed in my inventory. And I hadn't had time the 2 weeks previous to that. So it was just, I know I could do the Shattered Throne. I know I could jump in with the team, get that done. But then that week, I had the whole of the week to do another Shattered Throne. But I just couldn't bring myself to do it at that point, because there was other things that I needed to do. And I wish I could have done it on another character with the different rare bounty.
And like I said, it sucks. It's 100% unfair, especially since we don't even know how, quote unquote, they're going to fix it. Are they just going to give everybody put one in their inventory? I mean, how exactly is Bungie going to do it? Most likely, what they're going to make you do is they're going to make you go back and redo the part inside the forges to get the key, even though you've already technically done it, you know?
No, that's I think it's just that it needs to drop. The datapad needs to drop so that you then have to go back to the Leviathan and do that part of the quest with the lenses.
Yeah, that's all I do is just give you that thing, the quest up to drop. And I think this could really lead us into a good bigger discussion on both the RNG requirements of, you know, getting through quest steps, and also just going through quests more, you know, on a per character basis. Because, you know, like you're saying, for that, I mean, I didn't run into this issue because honestly I didn't even look. But I know when I was talking with Jack Lee and Pony and some other folks from the clan, they were like, you know, we've done this part, you know, why am I not getting, you know, why can I not get past this quest step to continue? And then it was like, oh, that was when Bungie said, oh, hey, it's not dropping, you know, hey, it's broken, you know. So I know people have run into it, but it's like with all these guns, with, you know, like the sleeper simulant, I've gotten it once, and now that it's in my collection, why would I ever get it again? Why would I ever run some of this stuff more than once? Like, I'm never going to complete these on my two other characters. You know, the collections have sort of invalidated a lot of the per player stuff, unless you're like, oh, I want to go do this on three characters. It's like, once you've done it once and have access to it, why would you, you know, even if the quest step isn't that bad, unless you're helping somebody else out with it, why are you going to go through any of these quests more than once? You've got the weapon, you've got the reward. It's going to be the same drop. Why bother?
And even if you didn't have access to the collections, I mean, look back in D1, we didn't have a collections. Hell, earlier in D2, we didn't have a collections. But once you grinded for that one weapon, Sleeper Simulant being the example, right? Did you do it on your other characters? No, you just swapped it between characters. And this goes back to a whole thing that we've been arguing with Bungie about for I don't even know how long, about once you unlock a weapon that requires a quest line, not just exotics, even like the pinnacle weapons, right? Once you've done the quest line for that weapon, it should be unlocked account wide. You should not have to redo it with every single character just for the quote unquote the grind, right? That I think is ridiculous. They should not do that. And that shotgun, the Acrius, right? Same thing with that. Once you unlock it on one character, boom, account wide. You don't have to have that sitting in your inventory. If you delete it from the inventory, right? It's at one of the vendors. When you go to one of the vendors, boom, it's sitting right there waiting for you to pick it up. I don't want it to be there. I don't want to see it. I want it to be gone. I don't even want to think about it once I've completed it.
They should do what they did in D1, have that like iPad sitting in the corner where you can go and collect those if you want to do those again. Do you remember that? You could go down to the,
yeah, that's perfect.
The tower. The
iPad.
Those giant right, iPads, yeah, that you could go over and you could go to your collections. You could go, oh, look, totally, there's all these quests that I can now do again. But I think the reason why they do keep them around is because, say you were doing the last word again and you needed a primary weapon. If you did that quest again in Season of the Drifter and you got that to drop, it should potentially be, if you're close to it, near a 700 powerful drop. So I think that's the reason they do keep those around. But they do mention somewhere in one of the this week at Bungie's that some of the drops don't go past their initial drop rate.
They're 650, exactly. Yeah.
This week, I did the Whisper of the Worm quest with Seventh Scar from the clan.
Congratulations, finally.
No, I've already got it. He didn't have it. So we two-manned it. And I used the Legend of Aquarius because of how powerful it is at the moment. Really, really good. But it dropped for me on my Titan, because I hadn't done it on my Titan, at 350, I think it was.
So 350?
I think it was 350.
Damn, I can get it from my collections at 630. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's, I think that's, I wish they were point, a little clearer about is, like, you know, what things drop at what level, and, you know, what's sort of worth grinding out and doing versus what's just worth pulling out of the collection because it's going to be higher for you. And I then mean, what weapons are you going to level lock at a certain point?
Yeah, I mean, right, they're not very clear on what weapons are locked at a specific level, because when I was trying to level up to 650, that Whisper Worm came up and I thought, oh, if I jump in and do that, will that drop at a higher light level, like about 620, 630, whatever I needed at the time? And I'd completely forgotten about it because I couldn't play on at the weekend. But I'd have been really upset if that had dropped at 350 and I needed something at 650. Do you know what I mean? They don't come out and absolutely tell you that those things are locked. I think I read somewhere that if you haven't done like the minor multi-tool quest, that will only drop at the original level, which was it 280? I want to say 280.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what it was, nothing useful to you now. And, you know, this is
nothing
fresh
useful now.
Yeah, I mean, this is fresh in my mind because, again, I've been, you know, it's taken me up until real recently to get the Ikelo shotgun. And I don't know how many rounds of Escalation Protocol I've done, but, like, you know, all the chest drops from Anna Bray at the end, all of that stuff is locked to, you know, 350, whatever that level is. It's like, so I've got this collection of blue weapons and blue stuff. It's like, I don't need any of this. Like, there's no reason for me to grind for any of this. Like, it's
right,
I'm getting all these drops and I'm at 650, all these things 300 levels above below me. It's like, why are you even giving me these rewards at all? Like, can you just automatically delete the blue stuff because you can know that's not useful to me anymore?
So yeah, that's a good point.
And honestly, some of the stuff, it's like I honestly don't even know, like, the Escalation Protocol armor, like, can I even get it to 650? I haven't tried, I haven't looked, but I don't even know if it's worth even, you know, trying to get that full collection to bring it up to level. Oh, that's good.
Now, what I don't like, hold on, since you brought up the Escalation Protocol, a little bit of a side tangent, right? I still have the shotgun and the SMG for each damage type in my inventory, because now you can only get the shotgun as a solar and the SMG only drops as an arc, isn't it?
The SMG does not drop. I don't believe that the SMG or the sniper rifle
it's
drop.
A solar.
You think the SMG is a solar? Regardless of what it is, right? Now you can only get them dropped as one damage type, right? I'm glad I kept all three damage types of each, right? Because they're really good weapons. And I would really hate to be one of the new guys coming in and get the Escalation Protocol like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. But it only comes in solar, right? And I know a lot of legendaries only come in one flavor. I get that, right? But the fact that you could at one point in time get it in all three flavors and now you can't, so guys like me can come into something with an Escalation shotgun no matter what the burn is, or the Escalation SMG no matter what the burn is, and I'll be okay. Whereas other guys will be like, how the hell did you get that? You know, granted, it's a perk for coming in earlier in the game, but it still isn't right. You know, if it dropped in three flavors initially, I think they should keep it that way. You know, when you go to your collections, you should get the weapon and you should choose all of the available types that they had at the time. Don't get me wrong. At the time, to choose from one of those. I should go back and get a void one if I want, or an arc one if I want. I shouldn't have to be locked to solar. You know?
Did they make that change when they made the change to take away the ability, you know, to set your gun to whatever? Because I have two sins of the past, one that's arc and one that's solar, because I was able to apply the mod to it, you know, when those were out.
Right.
Did they make that change at that same point? I asked because, again, I didn't have
it was a Forsaken launch. They took those away and changed the mods.
Okay,
As soon as they changed the weapon slots, that's when they locked it at the one flavor that you can get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, because that's one of the, you know, and again, it's like you said, it's sort of a perk of being an earlier player. Like I said, I've got, you know, a Sins of the Past in multiple different flavors because, you know, I just happen to have one at Arc and one at Solar when they locked it down, and so that's what I've got now. So I can swap that weapon back and forth depending on the singe, which is nice. But yeah, but if I hadn't gotten it before that change, I'd have, you know, whatever drops at now, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my thing about how they give us stuff that we don't need, like the blues, and then they take away the stuff that we could use, like being able to change the damage type of your weapon, as an example. You know? All right, I was actually looking at the Titan Skating on the PC. I have it on PC. I haven't played it on PC, I'll be honest, because I didn't feel like starting over with a new character.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering how this is going to affect Titans. Because Bungie says, the way that they nerfed the Titan Skate, it's so that you can't have a macro to make you skate across the map real fast, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, your average player can't, you know, do it fast enough to skate across the map anyway, right? That's what they said. But don't get me wrong, Bungie's Bungie. Right? I like them. They make a great game. But whenever they fix one thing, we got to see what else they broke. You know what I mean?
No longer pick up unstable radial area all of a sudden.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, your Titan now can't jump up. It has a jump like a warlock where you just float down.
So the reason I put in about the Titan skating on PC is just to make people aware. I didn't realize if one of us was playing on PC as well, so it's lucky that Respawn was. So they're fixing an issue with the Titan lift ability that currently allows players with the use of unconventional inputs, key binding to mouse scroll wheel, macros, etc., to reach extremely excessive movement speeds. Players that do not use macros should not feel any difference once this change goes deployed. So this strictly addresses the lift acceleration issue on PC. Players who don't utilize this unconventional input method should feel no difference, and they encourage you to keep an eye out for the inconsistencies and to let them know if this change does not meet your expectations for how lift works.
I think it's just, I mean, it's PC, which I don't have, and I have no experience with the Titans game, but I did sort of, you know, enjoy the Destiny 1. But I think it's just like everything else. It's like something changes in the sandbox, people figure out a new way to play it, and they move on and they adjust with life. Yeah, it's like it's losing something in your skill set. It's like it, you know, it's been there since the game launched, so it's been there long enough that it's like, were you going to fix this? Is this a bug exactly? Or is it just, you know, it's interesting too. I was curious when Destiny made the move, or when Bungie made the move to put Destiny on the PC, it's like that's going to open a whole new realm of things people could do because they're on a computer. So it's like, you know, I was curious to sort of see, you know, what are people going to figure out a way to do? You know, I think Titan skating being sort of the least of the worries of all the possibilities that could have come from. And I'm sure there's other exploits and things out there, but yeah, I mean, the Titan skating, I'm sure it's nice, but it's like with some of the other changes they made, you can still get across a map pretty quickly as a Titan, especially with the changes to the Fist of Havoc, where you can use that, you know, use that shoulder charge and that trample to get across much quicker on a map. Or yeah, or just coming with the death from above, and you're going to get from point A to point B very quickly, especially if you put the insurmountable skull fort on. And just jump, you know, jump that over and over and over again. As long as you're doing damage, you're getting across that map. So jump into some players and you're right on top of them again.
So getting back on that, I don't think the Titans are going to be irrelevant on the PC because they're not irrelevant on the console. And they never had the Titan skating glitch, I guess, bug, whatever you want to call it. And they weren't irrelevant at all. You know, Titans have a lot to offer, unfortunately, when it comes to the Crucible. You know, I think that's their bread and butter. They can one-shot most people. They just have so much utility in the Crucible, you know? And people will argue that Warlocks are good because they have the Rifts or, you know, That's basically about it, actually, that I can think of. I mean, don't get me wrong. Whenever I play PvP, I use my Warlock or my Hunter, right? But, and then people complain about, oh, the Hunters, they have so much mobility. They can jump above you before you realize what the hell is going on, and they're behind you, and then they get you and all this other stuff. I mean, it's valid, right? But a Hunter and a Warlock can't straight up one-shot you with a melee, you know, just from running around a corner. Boop, Titan, dead, right?
No. So moving on, Destiny have deployed a hotfix of 2.1.4.1. This has fixed an issue where players could not properly complete the sniper rifle or bow frames from the advanced quest for Black Armory. Just thought I'd throw that on in there. So, Return of Crimson Days. We've got some additional info for people. Again, it returns on Tuesday, the 12th of February. All players are invited to experience this event. Some triumphs and rewards may not be available on characters who do not meet the following requirements. So you have got to have completed the Red War campaign and achieved level 20. So players should be aware that some of the Crimson Days triumphs or bounties require players to have access to specific activities such as Nightfalls. And lastly, we would like to make players aware of the following known issues before Crimson Days goes live. So players will be unable to accept Lord Jax's Fire of the Crimson Days emblem to complete the Welcome to Crimson Days milestone if they have this emblem in their inventory from Crimson Days 2018. Players can resolve this issue by stowing the emblem that is in their inventory and accepting the new one from Lord Jax. So basically, if you earned it last year, you've got it in your collection. Just make sure you don't pull it out of your collection to wear it for Crimson Days this week. You will receive a new one, so just make sure it's not in your Guardian's inventory. Simple as. I mean, I would have probably pulled that out just to show it off just before Crimson Days goes live. And there are probably a couple more other Guardians out there that do the same thing.
Because it's important to dress the part.
Yeah.
Because again, like, as we discussed last week, you look good, you feel good.
I could imagine you doing that, pulling out your Crimson Days emblem, putting all your pink on everything, guns as well.
Exactly.
Just to get ready for it. Exactly.
My Sunrise exactly. Warrior, my beautiful Dawn and Dusk Redrick's Claymore, or I'm sorry, Redrick's Broadsword. I do not have the Claymore. You know, you got to have your properly colored weapons to get out into the Crucible. If you're not looking pink, you're not going to do nearly as well in Crimson Days.
Bungie also say that claiming triumphs, again, like the Iron Banner bounties, unearned and unclaimed event triumphs for Crimson Days will be removed from the player's inventory when the event ends. So players should claim all triumphs before Crimson Days ends on February 19th, 2019. Item collections. Items returning from Crimson Days 2018 can be found in the Season 2 of their respective collections, even if they are received during Crimson Days 2019. New items will be in the Season 5 tab where applicable. And in the show notes, we're going to link the TWUB link, the Crimson Days 2019 link, and a Crimson Days guide, all by Bungie.
Honestly, I was reading ahead, and a lot of this Crimson Days stuff we covered last week, we don't have to go over it again.
I know, but Bungie rewards for Crimson Days, like The Last Word, they're doing Show Some Love. So when you earn the legendary bow from Lord Jax, the Vow, players will receive a discount code to unlock the Vow hoodie from purchasing the Bungie rewards. I know we spoke about the Bungie rewards last week. In addition, every purchase will come with a Bungie Foundation pin, and a Bungie store will donate $7 for each pin distributed during the Crimson Days directly to support the Bungie Foundation's granting of technology wishes for Make-A-Wish in honor of you. So if people don't know, the Bungie Foundation is a foundation that Bungie have set up to raise money for children throughout the world. They've recently done Men in Kilts. They did a competition to raise funds for Ronald McDonald House, the Gauntlet Tournament to raise funds for Hope Link and Youth Care, and Guardians to Aid of Nepal to raise funds for rebuilding of Nepal following the devastation of that earthquake. That was quite a few years ago because my friend donated some money on the Bungie website or bought a pin or something and got a special emblem and shader in Destiny 1. Basically, just buy something from the Bungie store in the Crimson Days week and they'll make the donation for you. I'll link the Bungie rewards and the Bungie Foundation in the show notes. So something that we didn't talk about last week, but I'd like to bring it up, is the clan update. does one of you want to take the lead on the clan update?
Sure. It basically breaks down like this. It's going back to how it was when D2 first began. That's it.
Yes, but if people weren't around for when D2 first began, would you explain it a little bit further?
Yes. Okay. So nowadays, in order for you to increase your clan bounties, increase your clan XP, the only way to do it is via the bounties. But in the beginning, we didn't have any bounties, right? It's just doing things, right? You go do a public event, you get some experience. You do a raid with clanmates, you get even more experience. You know, it was just playing the game. It gave your clan experience to level up their clan, and it was great. And now what they're doing is kind of a hybrid. You're still going to be able to go out and just do things without having to have the bounties to increase the XP of your clan. But at the same time, you can also grab the bounties to further expedite said XP.
I think Bungie, they said in the past two seasons, they tried something new. And during that time, they gathered hard data and heard tons of feedback. I think a lot of people weren't happy that they changed that you could just go and play the game. You didn't have to go to the tower, pick up a bounty, then go do a specific event. You could just go and play. You could play with your clanmates. You could play with your friends. You could just do what you wanted to do and just earn that XP, which made a lot of sense.
What I wish they would do.
I think they were just trying to force people to do stuff with their clans. The bigger XP gains were to do something with your clan mates, weren't they? You know, go and do escalation protocol, which people weren't doing at the time. You know, do three levels of escalation protocol. Yes, it's come up with doing different quests recently, but beforehand, you didn't really want to go and do escalation protocol with your friend, you know, do three waves just to get the XP. You just wanted to play the game. You wanted to go off and grind and get your level up. You didn't want to have to do something that was a little bit old content just for that XP. So I understand where a lot of people were saying that they didn't like doing that and they wanted to go back to the way D2 was originally set out.
Not having physical bounties to pick up, right? What they should do is, yeah, still cycle the daily bounties and things like that, but just have them, like, exist, right? So you go out, you do stuff. You happen to shoot 100 hive in the head. That was the daily bounty for today. You get a check mark, like in the little book when you complete something, right? You go, bing, hey, you've completed this bounty for today. And you just collect it. You waste so much time having to go back and forth to the towers to collect these bounties, man. It's ridiculous. We do everything via communication and ghost. Hell, we make weapons and our transportation literally appear out of nowhere, right? We shouldn't have to go physically pick up a bounty instead of it just already being in, like, let's say you have a little book of bounties for that day. All you got to do is open it up, see what the bounties are, and continue on your day. You don't have to go to the tower just to pick up a bounty and waste so much time traveling to the tower and then traveling to your location just for a bounty, man.
You know what I think the problem is? You remember in Star Wars with that red droid, his communication thing just blows out the top of his head and they end up choosing R2. I think that's the problem, is that most of those droids in the tower, their communication is broken and we have to fly there to pick up the bounty. That's what it is.
We have no radios. When the tower fell, all the radios were lost. We don't have any radios anymore.
You don't need radios. We have radio communication, meaning our ghosts communicate with everybody else. I know this because when I'm doing stuff out in the field, nobody shuts up.
No, it's a pre-recorded message for when we've got to the tower. Zavala uploads it secretly.
The attachments to those messages containing our bounty PDFs so we can read them, those get lost in transition. And the carrier pigeons they tried never quite made it through space. So
and the reason didn't quite that work out great. You can still hear Cade when we do those missions again and again and those strikes again and again is because it's stored in the ghost, like Princess Leia in R2 in Star Wars.
So you're saying it's not Cade 7?
I just wanted to hear Cade so bad. I thought I was just imagining it. So you guys hear it too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So getting back to what you were saying about the clan updates, you know, Bungie said in Forsaken they had two major goals with Forsaken. They were trying to make stronger clans where players can make new friends in Destiny and stronger incentives for clans to play with their clanmates. And I think that's why we were seeing a lot of the escalation protocol on Blind Well. It's like, go play with the friends you have, but also go do these matchmade activities to maybe make some new friends, to build your clans. Because there's not a great way in-game to, you know, sort of build your clan up, except if you see people in the tower wearing Dusk and Dawn or doing the Otter Dance, or, you know, sort of randomly recruiting, or, hey, we ran, you know, six Nightfalls with you. You seem like a reasonable human being. Want to come join our clan? And so, yeah, with the changes, you know, they are getting rid of the daily bounties, the daily clan bounties with the change. And there will still be three weekly bounties that we'll have for the clans. And it's nice. I was looking at the unlockable tiers for as your clan ranks up, in addition to getting your sweet new staves, so you could change your lovely clan banner holder. At rank 3, you'll earn mod components every time you complete a weekly bounty. At rank 4, you'll earn enhancement cores when you complete a weekly bounty. And then at rank 6, your clan will get a fourth weekly bounty, which I will assume will then also give you extra mod components and enhancement cores as you do them. And then when you get to perk, you know, to tier 5 for season 6, the perk reads, Crucible and Strike Catalysts have an increased drop rate when playing with clanmates. Because I know there's a lot of catalysts I'm still missing. In the last couple weeks, I've gotten the Prometheus Lens and the Coldheart Catalyst dropped sort of randomly in Strikes, even though I've played tons of Strikes. I finished the Pinnacle Weapon quest on my Titan already and done a bunch on my other characters, and I'm just now getting those to drop. So it's nice that they're going to both give you those catalysts, and also they're saying they're going to release, like, not the moment, you know, Season 6 starts, but they said, you know, keep an eye on the patch notes for greater availability of other catalysts they're going to release into the game. So maybe some of those catalysts we're missing, we're going to start seeing now.
Or maybe even some of those catalysts that you had to pick one faction to support, and maybe you didn't have enough time to get all three. You know what I'm saying? Where are those at? Why aren't those coming back?
That sounds like you were playing favoritism and you weren't guarding your renown close enough.
Listen, there is no other clan. There's no other faction other than the Space Goths. Okay, whatever your opinion is, whatever you're about to say, it's irrelevant. Space Goth for life.
See, this is why you missed out on those other two catalysts.
Shut up. Okay, but me aside, other people that didn't even have that chance, even have the chance to go to the factions. They're just out those, man. When are they going to come back?
So basically,
in season 6, hopefully.
If you only just joined Destiny 2 at Christmas, or just before that with Forsaken, last year, Bungie did faction rallies. There's three factions in the tower. There's Dead Orbit, New Monarchy, and Future War Cult. And you had to pledge allegiance to one of these for a week. And that was account-wide. And in that week, you then had to grind to get tokens to level up that faction. And the winning faction for that week across the whole of Destiny 2 would be rewarded with a weapon. And each time that they did a faction rally, the weapons changed. So that was the reason why people were grinding towards that. Also, if you leveled up to, I think it was level 50, or you turned in 50 packages, you could get a catalyst for three specific weapons. And those weapons were the Sweet Business for New Monarchy,
yep,
the Sunshot for Future War Cult, yep, and the Graviton Lance for Dead Orbit.
Yep.
But those stayed at those specific vendors for that time. And you had to do it in that week, because if you didn't do it that week, the next time that the faction rallies rolled around, you would then have to pledge to that faction again to then turn in more tokens or packages to unlock that catalyst. And it did roll across for each faction rally, but the only problem was they did three faction rallies in that year. So you only had the three chances to get one of each. So you really had to grind that week to get those. And since those faction rallies have disappeared, those catalysts have disappeared from obtainment. You know, you can't get them at the moment unless you did them at the time. So I think that's the thing that Respawn was trying to explain, is that those need to come back into the game. And I think that's what Bungie are saying that they're going to try and implement in Season of the Drifter, but later on in Season 6.
Yeah, and I remember the time when the faction rallies, they basically said, you know, there will be a spot, you know, there will be a time later on where you will be able to get these. Of course, they didn't say when, and hopefully, you know, we're going to start seeing these trickle back out into the community. So, yeah, so if you did miss one or more of them, you'll look at the opportunity to claim those.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't say when. It's been, what, a year? Also, I don't want them to trickle. I want them to just be here. Stop holding them hostage, Bungie.
You know what I liked in our pre-show ramble is the fact that when we were talking about the clan staves, and I'm bringing this up, Reese Warren, you didn't know that you could change your clan stave. I found that really funny. The amount of time that you've been in the clan. So if people didn't realize,
not dedicated enough to the clan. If you don't look lovingly at your banner every season and change that little stick each season.
Look, everybody knows the only reason you brought me in is because I'm the guy who nonchalantly murders everything in sight. Okay. Yeah. That's my own purpose for being here. Anything else is just icing on the cake. And I don't like icing.
So if you go on your character screen underneath your butt flap, your cape, or your bond, you'll see your clan stave. If you click on that, you can go into it. And if your clan has completed the different events for each season over the last 2 year or year and a half, you can change your clan stave if they've reached the pinnacle for that season. So I think there's 3 or 4 at the moment that you can change it to. So take a look if you haven't respawned.
And before people start putting little comments in the section, I'm going to tell you from experience, it's not a staff. I thought he was trying to say staff, and he just couldn't speak English because he speaks the Queen's English. But then he told me to look at it, and sure enough, there's a V in there. It is staves for some freaking reason. Somebody out there probably knows why it's a stave. Maybe stave is the proper way to say it, but I've never heard that.
If you look at your Roman history, I think they had staves.
You might be right, and somebody out there is probably going to say something in the comments. But as of right now, I never heard of the word staves.
Until now.
You said it. And I was trying to correct you, and I looked, and he had me.
Actually, the stave is a thin, narrow-shaped piece of wood that forms the side of a cast tub or similar vessel, also a stick, rod, pole, or the like. So you've got your stave, you put your clan banner on it, you have that guy carried in the battle that you put up front. You don't give him a weapon, but you give him the flag, because, you know, he's your standard bearer for your group.
And I'd just like to welcome everybody to Dictionary Talk, where we go over one specific word and explain the definition.
Okay. And
Respawn needs to learn more words. We're here to teach about Destiny and about English.
Hey,
we're serving dual purposes.
Day calendars, all right? I'm only in the beginning. Shut up. That might be somewhere in December, for all I know. Leave me alone, man. Stop picking on me. Anyway, I'm going to say this should probably be edited out, but he's probably going to put in me saying this should probably be edited out, which is going to make me look twice as stupid.
You don't need us for that.
This is going to be the opening of the podcast. I don't know what you're talking about. This is the new intro.
Right. Douchebags. Okay. So, but anyway, yeah, it is staves, and I was corrected and I was humbled, which happens very infrequently, right? Especially since I don't like to admit whenever I'm wrong, because as long as there's other people to blame it on, I will not accept responsibilities for my own actions.
Okay. I think one thing that I'd like to bring up with the clans is that I don't think there's enough customization with the clan banners, because we are still rocking the clan banner that we had in Destiny 2 year one, day one, or just before that when you could create them. And I thought that they said that there'd be more creativity coming later on in the year. I could be wrong.
You get to change your staves.
No, but the symbol on the stave, you know, right. we've got a penguin. It's ridiculous. And we've been with that penguin. And I think the only reason it was chosen, because we are the Frozen Clan, that's the reason the penguin was put on there. But I think we were hoping that more symbols or more pictures would then come and more colors, and you could change it and be a little bit more unique in what your clan looked like.
That's coming out in Destiny 3, by the way, everybody.
You don't see it enough as well. I think it should, you know, either be on the ship screen or the character background. It would be nice to see, you know, your clan being represented.
Oh, you want to talk about representing? How awesome would it be that if you could actually put that emblem somewhere on your armor and or ship, right?
Yeah.
That way, if you're flying through space, people can look at your ship and just see, bam, your big clan emblem or whatever, right? Or like even like the Titan butt flap. Most of the time they're blank, right? Just put a picture there. Put your clan emblem on there. You know what I'm saying? Represent the clan you belong to. You know what I'm saying? Penguin all day, every day. Woo woo. Personally, I vote for Sub-Zero. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, and that's one thing I would love to see more of, because, yeah, it's like you can create a clan, you can make a banner, but then it's sort of like, other than, you know, Frozen showing up under your name in game, it's like there's not really a reason to have You know, I mean, there's a reason to be in the clan for the rewards and, you know, finding more people to play with, but it's like there's not really, there's no good clan tools. There's no good, yeah, clan representation. It's like you're there, but it's like it doesn't really do you much good. Yeah, I agree with Respawn. I would love to see, you know, your sort of your clan choice and your emblem and things show up in the game or be a part of something. Or, you know, you could have, you know, have your own little clan faction say, hey, our clan's going to throw down with your clan. And we're going to say, hey, we're going to do, you know, whether it be a PvP thing or, hey, we're going to do strikes this week or whatever. And say, whoever, you know, does the best on, you know, high score on strikes, give you a little bit of like clan, you know, a little bit of like the ability to have your clan sort of mean something to you. It's like, you know, our clan's going to throw down with your clan in an event or something. And sort of, and have some, you know, some emblem or some way to track that. Just, you know, give the clan sort of a reason. It's like, we've joined this clan, but there's no point in it.
There's no incentive. You know? Yeah. That's why people change clans all the time. You know, people looking for different clans for this and that and the other. Cause there's no reason to stay with the current clan you have. Also, another way to customize, I can't remember if it was D1 or D2. Forgive me. My memory fails me sometimes, but there was once upon a time where when you spawned in to the Crucible, the guy in the front had a flag with a banner on it that he would slam in the ground. Remember that?
Yes.
That should be that. If you have a full fire team of nothing but your clan members, that flag, boom, should come down, right?
When that's a really good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're with a bunch of randos or whatever, okay, nobody should have a clan banner or everybody gets their own clan banner or whatever. But I think if you are a fire team, and you're all the same clan members, the guy in the front should just slam down a big old clan banner to represent who's about to get whooped. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun to, you know, the same thing in Gambit. You know, you've got those four guys lined up across. I would love to see, like, you know, either, you know, if you're all one clan, boom, big old clan banner behind you. Or, you know, if it's three or four different clans, you know, you're there with your, you know, your clan colors flying behind you. Saying, hey, yeah, I'm part of this clan or that clan.
Well,
or
there you go. Just, yeah, even better.
It'd be good a fun way just to build it into the game.
Flag behind you, like a big flag waving in the wind right behind your whole team. That's also cool. I like that, right? But you know why they don't do it? It's because the intimidation factor, right? If you're going in with a bunch of randoms and it shows your team and the other team and they got the clan banner behind them and you know that's all one team, people are going to leave the lobby. They're gonna be like, nope. And people do it all the time, because even when you just press start and look at who you're fighting against and people see that it's a whole clan, they leave. You know,
that's no, I think I like, get- it's like what you said last week with the get good. I think sometimes it incentivizes people. I know it does us if we're in a team of just like randoms, and we've spoken about this before, and we've taken on a whole team of a clan. What there are, so either in Crucible or Gambit, it feels really good, and I think some people rise to that challenge. And I know that when we go into Crucible and we get our ass whooped, we know the other team are going, yes, we've just beaten that Frozen team. They are rubbish.
And you're like, and we know this because they send us messages about how much our clan sucks.
They send us love. They don't send us messages of hate. They send us love.
Uh-huh. The only way the Frozen clan can beat a whole other team full of the same clan mates is if we have three other randoms on our team.
Yeah. And we invite them to the Frozen Clan.
Right?
So, moving on, did you guys want to talk about the fixes and bugs quickly? They're important, and I think people need to know about them, but...
Are they, though? I mean, yeah. Come on.
Because, you know, people might be chasing the Redrix Broadsword, so the Valor rank reset is important to people. So, the Valor rank reset step will now look at previous season's accomplishments as well. So... 5 Valor resets are still required during a single season, but this is no longer restricted to the current season. So if you've reached it this season and are still progressing through the steps, if you get to the end of the quest in Season 6 and have already done the 5 Valor resets this season, it's now retroactive and will grant you progress. Completion inconsistencies. They fixed an issue where the quest was not progressing to pick up steps until players re-entered orbit. So for Crucible Ranks, enhancement cause. I don't know what that's for.
Yeah. Okay, this one I can talk about, because this one I've run into.
Okay.
I run into oftentimes, when I did the Redrix Broadsword, you know, quest last season, there were steps where I would have, you know, I would have a completed step or something where I would either have to go to orbit before the step would complete, or I'd have to go play, you know, when it was like, go get X number of kills in the Crucible or earn whatever this is, I'd have to go back into the Crucible and basically get one more kill or one more medal before it would actually trigger, even though it said, you know, 100% on the step. So I've run into this where it's like, yeah, things wouldn't really complete till you left orbit or went to the tower or sort of loaded up a new activity. So hopefully they've resolved that now.
Okay. So with the activities and raids, the Scourge of the Pass, apparently they fixed an issue where players could initiate damage phases for the boss encounter too early. And they've also fixed an issue where the Like a Diamond Flawless Triumph was not being rewarded properly. So
they did fix that?
Apparently they fixed it now. Damn so it. That if you've now gone on and done the is it Petra's run, where it's a flawless, right. Nobody dies throughout the whole Last Wish raid, you'll get a Like a Diamond Triumph. But I did hear that they are looking into retroactive that. So if you've already completed the Like a Diamond, it's something they're looking into to see if they can look back on the data to then retroactively give it to you. So if you have done it, they might be able to sort that out in the future. They're looking into it.
Also, if you should have the Like a Diamond, go ahead and send your information to our websites, because I would love to know who to invite to carry me through the raid. Just saying.
So Black Armory and Forges, they fixed an issue where players were not being properly credited when consuming keys for the mysterious box quest. Players already affected by this issue will be awarded credit for the keys they've used next time they log in. It is still possible on rare occasions for players to use a key and not complete the objective. When this happens, returning to orbit should resolve this issue. Forge emblems are now awarded from forge completions rather than forge-specific bounty completions. Modular reports and ballistic logs will now go to the postmaster if lost. Cap on modulus reports remains at 15 per account. When hunting for high-value targets on Nessus for the Civics... Is it Civics? Delivery note quest? All players who damage the enemy will be given credit towards the skill. So that's quite good. So there is a part of the unlocking one of the forges on Nessus. You had to go and kill a
Izanami.
Fallen captain to get past that quest step. And if you just shot him, you wouldn't be given credit for it. You had to do the killing blow to move on to the next part of the quest. So it was frustrating players that you'd find about 10 players all just like standing in one area ready to shoot the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the guy that came in at the last second and got the last shot that got the next part of the quest. So that's quite good that anybody had done damage to it. Again, it's a little bit too late because a lot of people have moved past that now.
Right. Oh, it's Inazagi. My bad. Not Izanami. Okay. Yeah, Inazagi Forge. And the other thing, for a while that was bugged. I'm sorry. When I was doing exactly what you're talking about, not only did we have to deal with other people getting the last hit, but I stayed right in front of Failsafe's area for an entire day of gameplay, right? I must have been in that spot for like 4 hours. And every time the guy spawned in, it wasn't the captain. It had a different name. It wasn't the guy that we needed. It was another guy that kept spawning in over and over and over and over and over again. And the captain that I wanted didn't spawn in 4 flipping hours. It was just that unnamed captain. And I know it wasn't the right one because I killed him more than once and the bounty would never complete. So the guy that was supposed to spawn never spawned. It was this other nameless captain that kept spawning in his place. And I was so mad that it didn't spawn in 4 hours, man.
Did you raise that to the Bungie help forums?
No, because I went back the next day and the guy spawned.
So yeah, players can no longer purchase weapon frames if the pursuit bucket is full as well. That's another thing.
Yeah, that's just one of those, you know, RNG quest steps that you've got to wait for the thing to drop. And it's like, okay, I can't do anything else on this quest step until this thing happens. So I'm glad they've resolved that.
And Black Bungie, Armory, if you're listening, RNG is bad for a quest step. Just saying.
They're not listening. So Black Armory lore drops have been increased to 20%, up from 10%. And successful forge completions are now required to earn the reward. So if you don't know about this, is that you could, I think, go to, is it the Izanami Forge? You could load up your character with really low light weapons and gear. And it wouldn't matchmake you with anybody because it matchmakes you with somebody of the same light level as you. It would spawn you into the Izanami's Forge. You'd just die and repeat the process of just being loaded into the same forge, because you get 20 seconds. So people were leaving their consoles on, leaving their character in at such a low light, and they would generate the lore, because it's a random drop at 10%. People were just farming this, leaving their guardians for hours upon end by themselves, solo in this encounter, and the lore would slowly drop for them. I think there's about 20 pieces of lore. You could do that, but now they fixed it that you actually have to do a completion for it to drop, and it's been up to 20%.
Yeah, but now we have to deal with the AFKers, man. They'll come in with a group, and the group will complete the forge while they don't do anything. Me and G-Dad, one of our clan mates, came across that issue. We were just trying to complete his weapon frame, and we had at least 3 or 4 AFKers that would just sit there and not do anything. And, of course, we would fail, right? Because it's really, really hard to do the Bergusia Forge with only 2 people, with the third guy just not doing anything.
Weapon frames update. So the ballistic logs no longer are removed at reset. Yeah, the ballistic logs increase cap to 5 per character. So Woo! You can store those bad boys if you want now. So when you get one that you actually want to do that comes up that week, you've now got them in your inventory rather than having to do a bounty first. So the ritual frame quests carried across reset now refund into purchased currency. Gold frames refund into 1 ballistic log. Silver frames refund into 3 modular reports. Any instance of radiant matrix removed on weekly reset.
Hold on, doesn't it take 6 modulus reports for a silver frame?
Yes, but it'll only give you 3 back.
So you get a ballistic slog, which gives you another gold frame, but you only get half the number of modulus reports to give you a silver frame. Are you sure that's right? Because that seems bad.
That's if you haven't completed it, I think. So just make sure you complete it.
Okay. But still, if you don't complete the gold, you get another gold right back in the form of a ballistic slog. But if you don't complete the silver, you get half as many modulus reports. That's kind of scummy, I think.
You can also buy more of the silver ones at a time. The gold you can only do one at a time. The silvers you can pick up multiple and work through them all at once. You got the ability to have more of those. So just
but you can know,
an economy thing.
Since you can only still purchase up to 2 gold frames per week, all Nessus fallen captain high value targets around the Exodus Blackpool now spawn correctly. There you go.
That was the issue I was doing.
Fixed your problem. Yeah,
that's fixed your problem.
That was a bug. Okay, I thought
I'd isn't it nice when you see a thing and you're like, bad luck. That was broken. I'm not crazy. It was actually broken.
Well, hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, right? Me being crazy and it being broken are 2 separate issues.
So they've also, in general, they fixed an issue where the fastidious Meester Triumph was not properly unlocked for players. They fixed an issue where the Veteran of the Hunt emblem was using the wrong art, and they fixed an issue where the knife flip emote did not properly loop. So apparently the Veteran bundle with the knife flip, that was meant to loop over and over again. They've also fixed a couple of issues with Eververse. Yay, Eververse. Fixed an issue where the Summer's Alt and the Jupiter Midnight Sparrows shared the same appearance. They fixed an issue where the Vision of Iron bundle and the Form Given Function bundle did not show correct message if players did not earn the proper DLC entitlement for the purchase. And the Satu and Rasmussen ghost projections now have the correct imagery.
Does that mean they're not stretched out anymore whenever you set your ghost out to investigate stuff?
I'm guessing so.
Okay. It's now correct. I wonder if I've gotten a couple of ships to drop. Now, granted, I don't really pay attention to what the ships are anymore. I just delete them wholesale because I don't need any more ships. But I did have a couple drop, and I'm like, the names are different, but those look the same. And I wonder if it was those two. Because I was very confused at one point. Of course, I didn't take note of what they were. I just deleted them. So they're in the scrap heap somewhere.
Right?
Ships and sparrows. No, ships. I had 2 ships that were the exact same name. I mean, I do feel like half the ships are basically the exact same ship that just slightly recolored. Yeah. But I definitely had 2 ships that were like the different ship by name, but they looked exactly the same when I inspected them. So I thought it was just me being crazy or I don't know.
Speaking of recoloring, How cool would it be if Destiny implemented something that if you had a common ship, the white or the blue, no, green, the white or the green ships, that you could actually design however you wanted, right? The legendaries and the exotics, they are the way that they are, yes. But below legendary, all the ones that everybody throws away, what if they could just, you know, kind of develop a matrix so you can change the color that you want?
You'd get somebody that could create a phallic symbol on it. You know they would. You know it would happen.
Which is probably also why we don't have...
Not designs, though. Not like let them draw stuff on there, but change the design. You know, have different templates with the ship on there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, you know, the ship artwork is probably why we also don't have clan banners. You can make anything because, you know, we would have
phallic symbols,
swastikas, everything else you can think of that.
Hey, you know, hold on, let me stop you there. Have to deal with. Swastika, although it is associated with Nazism, the swastika is actually not a bad thing inherently. Yes, it is.
Right, but it's been tainted by Nazism, so that's sort of where we are.
Yeah. All right. So. I know we spoke about this last week that we were going to get into it. The sandbox update 2.1.4, so part two of our discussion with the weapon tuning. We left it for this week because we wanted to give it a week for the Crucible to get kicking and some YouTubers to put out some really cool videos. We're not going to go into...
If you're into hour two, you might get to hear it, or it might be the next week.
No, it's definitely this week.
Or the next week.
Yeah.
So, auto rifles, they've had... increased base damage on rapid fire by 9%, increased base damage on high impact by 5%, and increased damage on adaptive auto rifles by 6%.
Auto rifles for the new meta, done. Auto rifles everywhere. I'm calling it.
I'm going to go through these quickly because then we can discuss some of the weapons. So scout rifles, they've increased the base damage on lightweight scout rifles by 5%, increased the base damage on rapid fire by 6%, and increased the scout rifle damage and PvE damage by 10%. Sniper rifles, they've increased the base damage on rapid fire snipers by 8%, and now you can two shot to the body to defeat other guardians in PvP. Grenade launchers, they've tweaked grenade launchers projectiles to feel more consistent on direct hits. Proximity grenades can no longer impact directly, so prevent special ammo grenade launchers from one-shotting with the perk active. Increased ammo reserve size of the special ammo grenade launchers. Increased the initial spawn ammo in PvE for special ammo grenade launchers. Bows. They've made the effect of the draw time for bow string perks more noticeable for high tension strings, flexible strings, elastic strings, and polymer strings. The accuracy stat from the high tension string was increased from 10 to 15 to better compensate for the slower draw time. But they've got a known issue. The tooltip for the high tension string was not updated to show the larger accuracy increase. This will be addressed in future updates. So in about 6 years' time, we'll find out what those bows could do. Legend of Acrius. So the legendary shotgun that you can get from the raid in D2. Range increased by 0.5 meters and the PvE damage increased by 50%. Telesto. They've reduced the base damage of each bolt by 19%, increased the optics stats from 15 to 20 to be more comparable with other fusion rifles, scopes, perks, and PvE damage increased by 30%.
To be clear, the first two things that you mentioned are only PvP, right? Because the last part, it says PvE damage increased by 30%.
Yeah.
But it should be noted that the first two changes were the bolt damage is reduced by 19% is PvP. The increased optics and the PvE damage are both PvE, but the first one is PvP specific.
Cool. Tracer rifles now gain an additional ammo when picking up special ammo, reduce the damage output of the wave splitter, not that we've got it on PC or Xbox, against Guardians, reduced by 90% on medium damage mode, reduced by 27% on high damage mode. Adjustments were made to keep the damage output the same in PvE activities. So exotic armor. They tuned the energy values of the Shards of Galanor to accompany changes to the Blade Barrage Super. So it reduces the maximum energy return from 90% to 75% of the total super. Now only returns energy on the knife impacts. Reduces energy returns on the Gwishan Vest from 10% to 7% of the total super. Miscellaneous. So the abilities fixed an issue where players could retain super energy for Chaos Reach even when being suppressed mid-super, fixed an issue where players could equip the Celestial Nighthawk mid-super to partially benefit from Hawkeye Hack perk when using the six-shooter subclass. I believe that you could mainly do that on PC because it's a little bit slower to get into your menu and swap to your helmet before you can do that on console.
Yeah, gotta love load times.
Yeah. And they've also fixed an issue with the arrows for Spiteful Fang left lodged in targets that did not match the arrows it's fired.
It's fixed an issue where the Anarchy's trap detonation was not dealing damage if the owner had died. They've also fixed an issue with the auto-loading holster perk was not reloading the magazine in some circumstances. Fixed an issue where the muzzle blast and spent shell effects have become misaligned on the Suro's regime and its ornaments. Fixed an issue where the no-feeling scout rifle had incorrect stats when masterwork. Fixed an issue where the tempered dynamo fusion rifle wasn't playing all of its charge-up audio on console. So hold on. Some sound fixes, some damage fixes, some pretty picture fixes.
Let me vent here just for a second, right? About these fixes to these weapons and things like that, right? I am angry because if you remember in the beginning, Bungie said it's not going to be a repeat of Destiny 1 where we just nerf everything into oblivion, right? They said, and I quote, we will not be nerfing weapons anymore. We will just be bringing other weapons up to that level. Remember that? Remember they said that?
Yeah, but yeah. There's also a point where you've got a large game and a large sandbox you've got to account for. You're going to have to bring some stuff down. Otherwise, it's going to get to the point where we're going to be one-shotting everybody with every gun in the game.
No, but I'm saying like you're right, right? But I'm referring more to the exotics, right? Exotics are exotic. Do you understand that? They are powerful by definition. Okay, exotic doesn't mean powerful, but in this case it does, right? So they nerfed the Telesto. They've nerfed the Sleeper Simulant. They've nerfed the Wave Splitter, right? Don't get me wrong. Having those weapons inside of PvP and Gambit, it was rough. It was hard. I complained. I said words that normally children shouldn't hear, let's just say. And it sucks to get killed by these things, right? But you also have to realize at some point in time, they're exotic. They're supposed to be strong, you know? You wanna not get killed by that weapon? Oh, well, why don't you go get that same weapon and kill the other team before they can kill you, et cetera. These are exotics, and they nerfed the Wave Splitter. They nerfed the Telesto. They shouldn't be nerfed. Yes, they're strong. Yes, it sucks to be up against them. But at the same time, they're exotics. They're supposed to be strong. You're not supposed to bring the Telesto down to the level of other fusion rifles because then what's the point, you know?
Bungie is going to make changes to weapons where they see as – I mean, not game breaking is too heavy a term, but you know, when they see the meta becoming basically everybody running the same two or three guns, they're going to make some changes. Because after a while, even if they make their changes, I mean, that's sort of how you kill a game and how it becomes boring. You walk into Crucible and you use your Telesto and you're getting Telestoed all the time. A point comes where you're like, I'm done. You know, part of what I enjoy about the weapon changes is it changes the meta. It makes things more interesting. You know, the Legend of Acrius was everywhere for a while. You know, the Last Word will be everywhere for a while. You know, the Sleeper, the Queensbreaker, yeah, they're going to be everywhere. And then they're going to make some changes to make it more interesting.
You don't change the exotic, though, because remember in the beginning how the meta was the Scout Rifle, right? The Mida Multitool. That was the meta. And what did they do? Did they nerf the Mida? No. Well, they kind of did a little bit, but what they mostly did is they nerfed Scout Rifles. They nerfed that class of weapon. Now, I think if you want to change the meta, nerf a class of weapon. You know, buff auto rifles while lowering the damage of Scout Rifles, or right, lower the damage of
Fusion
Rifles
doing
while buffing submachine guns.
Yeah, but
right?
You just said that you don't want a nerf to a weapon. You want
to a weapon. To a an individual weapon because that weapon is too powerful. It's an exotic because it's powerful, right?
Yeah, but it's in now, that category, so it's being nerfed.
Right,
so that
but that's how you then change a meta. That's how you change a meta. You don't change the one weapon. You change that class of weapons, right? You
they
don't
did.
Take
well,
away
they nerfed, from the, they nerfed well, I mean, the scout rifles into the ground, which is why people haven't used them for such a long time.
That's right. My point.
Yeah, well, and that's part of what they're doing. Is they're making changes to the weapon types, and as you make, you know, if you're going to bring, you know, sniper rifle PvE damage up 10%, we'll say, I'm sure there's an exotic sniper rifle somewhere that's going to, you know, supremely benefit from that and become this overpowered master gun at some point. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You've got to make a little bit of balance. You know, if you're gonna bring, you know, auto rifle base damage up 9%, there's an auto rifle out there that's you know, because of its perks or because sweet of business. You know, its loadout
business and the Soros machine.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you've got to say we're bringing this class up or we're bringing this class down. Now we need to take some of these exotics and tweak them a little bit so they don't either become completely. Because I remember in the last updates they were like, you know, we're buffing a couple of these exotics because of the changes we've made to the class is going to make them really useless after this. And just the same way, you know, you can't have a completely overpowered gun and bring it down a little bit. I mean, the Telesto is still a good gun; it's still powerful.
Take it out of the energy weapon slot. In D1, it was a power weapon because of how strong it is. It's an exotic. Put it back in the power weapon slot. You know what I mean? Or the other one is like the wave splitter, right? Put the wave splitter in a power weapon slot. Don't take it out of the energy weapon slot. Don't nerf the exotic. It is exotic by definition, right? They didn't bring down fusion rifles. They didn't bring down linear rifles. What are they called? The classification of weapon that the wave splitter is in, right? They didn't bring those down. No, they just nerfed those two particular exotics. Where if an exotic is that powerful, just like with the freaking sniper rifle, they put it inside the heavy weapon slot, right? Both of our exotic sniper rifles, except for the new one, right, are in the heavy weapon slots because they're freaking powerful, you know? Do the same thing with the wave splitter. Do the same thing with the Telesto. Do the same thing with the other exotic fusion rifle we have, the one where it shoots faster if you don't get the kill. Put that in the heavy weapon slot, right? Exotics are supposed to be powerful. I'm not saying put every single powerful exotic inside the heavy weapon slot, but those particular ones, instead of nerfing them into the ground, put them in the heavy weapon slot. That's what they did with the Queensbreaker. Queensbreaker's in the heavy weapon slot. And, you know, instead of nerfing the sleeper simulant, whenever I was getting hit by the sleeper before I had it, you know what I did have? I had the Queensbreaker. And I could shoot a guy with the sleeper simulant and kill him one shot before he could get his round off and kill me because my weapon charged half as fast as his did. You see what I'm saying?
Right. But there's also a difference between nerfing it and nerfing it into the ground. I mean, I've only played a handful of matches this week in Crucible, but I took the Telesto in there. And yeah, it was a little less powerful, but I still had good success with it. I mean, yeah, they've made changes to it, but they haven't made a change to it where it's a completely useless weapon now.
No, apparently it's still viable in the Crucible. As, you know, you just don't shoot it on the walls and wait for somebody to run past. You use it tactically.
But that's fun.
And it'll still work. Like a gun. Yeah, you shoot it at somebody, it's still going to explode those bullets on them and still wipe them out. It's still going to work. I think it's just that where the meta has now changed and people have gone, oh, that's a nerf, we better not use that. It's now dropped out of sight, which is what I think Bungie wanted, is that for that item not to be used as much. It's still as powerful and still as potent as it ever was.
I still think that if the exotic is that powerful, don't nerf it. Just put it in the heavy weapon slot. It is a ridiculously powerful weapon. It is. It shouldn't be nerfed. It should be moved, right? That's just how I see it.
So, weapon spotlight. For this week, I've seen a lot of videos on this archetype of weapon. So, in the recent patch, these fast-firing scout rifles got buffed to PvE and PvP, and they've increased the damage on the rapid fire by 6%. And what this means is that those rapid fire frames are doing a lot quicker and higher damage. So in your weapon collections, what you're looking out for are the Frostmise Hex from the Iron Banner year one, the Black Scorpion, which you can get from the Gunsmith or a Wild Drop, or the Contingency Plan, which is from Dead Orbit. And these weapons were secretly strong in Destiny 2 year one, and since the patch a lot more people have found them out again and started to use them. The main one that people have been looking out for is the Black Scorpion 4SR. As the Sins of Forsaken launched, it can drop with random rolls, so you can get different rolls on it compared to what it was with year one, even though the year one rolls on it are the best rolls that you can get.
Yep.
And you can also add a mod to it to improve it even more. So if you've got it in your dropped in year one, it should be able to be pulled from your collection. You can masterwork the year one version with range. That's one I've got. It's got arrowhead break with the barrel that can give you vertical recoil as well. But saying that, this week I've been using the Frostmise Hex from the Iron Banner, and that gun is amazing. It's got better range, little less stability than the Black Scorpion, but it's got the high caliber rounds. And if you tap the trigger rather than holding it down, I know it's a rapid fire, tap the trigger. It is phenomenal because their reticle is just bouncing up and down with you just hitting them with the headshots, even with body shots.
Hold on, you're missing one of the most important things about it. It's got freaking Firefly, dude.
Yeah, it's got Firefly. But you can't put the Firefly spec on it because it's a year one weapon.
And doesn't matter. It's still for it to come back Firefly. In on
yeah.
You know? You still blow people up with it. That's amazing.
Does a conspirator fit into this at all? I know that's a fast firing weapon from the Leviathan raid, I think. I don't know if that fit into this,
no,
this collection
is,
or not.
No, this is the, because that's slightly different. They're the same shape. When you see the Black Scorpion, it's a specific shape with a very long barrel on it. And the Frostmire text and the contingency plan are the same rapid fire frames. So with the Black Scorpion, you've got moving target and steady rounds on it with the arrowhead brake barrel. That's what you kind of need on a gun. The moving target, it's increased the movement speed and target acquisition when moving while aiming. And the steady rounds gives you greatly increased stability, but it slightly decreases the range. But if you've got your gun master work for range, you know, it counterbalances that. But I've seen a couple of videos where they said, don't worry about that range because it will still hit at those medium to long-term engagements. So what have you guys got to say on it? Have you guys used it? Have you tried any of these guns?
Yes, I actually was using the Black Scorpion, but that's why I was so adamant about the I'm drawing a blank here, the Frostmire's Hex, because the Frostmire's Hex, it is brutal. I'm sorry. I think it's nasty, right? Because, yes, you can get Firefly on the Scorpion. You can, right? So everybody out there, don't start saying stuff about, oh, you can also get it on the Scorpion. You can, but it's a random roll, right? But with the Frostmire's Hex, you get staggering rounds coupled with Firefly. Just out the gate, you know? And I think, like you said, it has better range. And I think it's got, like, better stability and aim assistance? Whatever. Point is when I actually did the research for it, like, in almost every single way, the Frostmire's Hex was better. And I started using that bad boy in PvP and PvE. It's kind of disgusting, you know? It is a good, good weapon to have. Just get it from your, if you got it in your collection, just pull it out as is. You can masterwork it like I did mine just so that I drop orbs in PvE. But I mean, it's a nasty gun. I'm sorry. And then it comes with the base damages arc. So if you go into the Baguzia Forge, it's really, really good in the Baguzia Forge too with all those arc shields. Oh, it's nasty.
And as I haven't had a chance to play with those scout rifles yet, I'm going to move on to the next thing. The Suros regime has returned.
Yes.
I haven't used as much in D2, although I did enjoy the little bug it had a couple updates ago where the
reticle.
The reticle was no longer transparent. It had a nice yellow, you know, exotic gold look to see through, which I figured they were trying to make the gun harder to use. You know, make it more skilled to use in PvP, but that was very exciting for a while. It was the Suros and a couple other guns, which they've since fixed, but that was a fun little bug.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a couple of videos on the buffs recently with the effects on the auto rifles, and I started to see a few videos on the Suros, so I thought I'll give it a try in Crucible, and yes, it is really good. Don't use the spinning up perk. Use the focus fire one, where if you zoom in, scope, and shoot, and it slows the rate of the fire down, but it does the extra damage. That's the one to use. It kills in Crucible as long as you're getting the good range. You can melt like two people, you get double kills very easily. But saying
here's the thing that gets me. I've watched about three YouTube videos, right? Two of the people I know and I trust their opinions.
Yeah.
And the other guy was just a random that I looked up. And all three of these individuals were saying, yes, it does benefit from the buff, but it doesn't really change the TTK, time to kill, for this weapon. The time to kill is still about the same, which I don't understand, because if it has a damage buff, you'd think it would be better. But the way they explained it is it takes, I think, one less shot to kill an enemy. But still, in the time, like, if I engaged on you and I had the Suros regime and you had like a blast furnace or any one of the other pulse rifles at the same range, you're going to kill me at the same range, right? We don't have to be long range where I start to get a damage drop off. But if we're both mid range, you're still going to kill me before I kill you, you know? And I mean, yeah, it's a good gun.
I'm going to have to disagree with you, because I watched a video by Aztecross, who did a comparison on all the auto rifles, and he goes through all the damage numbers of, and he highlights the Soros, and I think the TTK was, I think it was 7.3 seconds. Right. So he said it has been improved.
0.73. Yeah, 0.73. Yeah, that's what I saw too, 0.73. But before that, it was still like in the 0.7 range. It might have been like 0.78 or 0.76, but it was still in the 0.7 range. And there's lots of other weapons out there that'll kill sub 0.74 second TTK. You know, so is
I mean, I'm going to link all these videos. There's one on the Frostmourne's Hex by Blessius, Black Scorpion from Death from Above, and then Destiny Fun Police has done one on Black Scorpion, and then Aztecross has done one on Scout Rifles Across the Board, a full breakdown, and he's also done one on Auto Rifles. So I'll link those in the notes. Nkooch has also done a Suros video, and Death from Above, he's done a video on the Guiding Star, and I only bring that up because, after playing with the Suros, I thought, Guiding Star, I like the Guiding Star. It's very similar to the Doctrine of Passing from D1. 720 RPM kinetic auto rifle. You could only get it from dead orbit. I think that, again, that was in year one. But it melts. It really does melt. I wish I'd kind of recorded it, but I was playing in Crucible yesterday, and all I used that gun for, I didn't even whip out my secondary. I just used that gun for about three or four games, and I was melting people. They just, because it gives you high caliber rounds again.
That you stun your targets when you shoot them in the head.
You're going to stun your targets when you shoot them in the head.
So, I'm very excited to pull the Suros out, because I used it a lot in the original Destiny and a lot before. And again, with that same slowed down rate of fire, I don't need to shoot like a misfit shooting a stream of bullets at people. I like that slower, harder hitting style. So I can't wait to check that out this week. Maybe we'll bring that into a Crimson doubles as we're playing keep away with our grenades and our auto rifles.
bring in
the sweet business, because it benefited from that too, man.
I saw a video from Destiny Fun Police with the sweet business, and he wrecks shop with it again. Something I'm going to try this week, maybe in Crimson doubles. But if you guys out there haven't tried Suros, give it a whirl. If you've got the Guiding Star, give that a whirl. If you haven't got the Guiding Star, didn't get it in D2 year one, the Foregone Conclusion is also a random drop at a 720 RPM primary kinetic weapon.
Do your videos that you're going to post have the sweet business in there? Checking those damage numbers? Because the sweet business coupled with that Titan exotic chest piece, oh my God. That just sounds dirty as hell, man. I'm sorry.
With any of the auto rifles. So the Foregone Conclusion,
the War Pig,
has got high impact reserves. It's got armor-piercing rounds, so it's very similar to high-caliber rounds. And, yeah, it's a 720 auto rifle in your primary slot, so give that one a whirl.
Dude, hold on. Let me pull this up right quick. So this Arsenic Bite that I have, right, it already has a quick draw time, which is why I liked it to begin with, and I kept farming it until I got a masterwork for draw time, right? So my draw time is 600 milliseconds from not drawn to full draw. Right? 600 milliseconds. That's barely over half a second. And then it's also got, like every other one, it's got Rampage, and you can choose between Archer's Tempo and Explosive Head or whatever. So I got Explosive Head, Rampage, and Masterwork for draw time. I delete fools. I really do. I was going inside of the Forge with some of my friends, and they're like, dude, what the hell are you doing with a bow? Because it was the new Forge, the one where they have all the arc damage. Damn it.
Yeah, the Berguzia one.
Yes. Well, you got to fight the tank at the end, right? And they're like, what are you doing, man? Why you got a bow? I'm like, ha, watch. And yeah, like I'm three tapping like the captain that's coming up at me, one-shotting all the smaller adds, two-shotting the blue adds that drop the orbs. It's a monster, dude. It is straight up a monster. The only time I pull out my shotgun is when I got a servitor, and it's like pop, 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 done. That thing is dangerous.
And the perks, you said you had Archer's Tempo and Rampage on it? Is that what Archer's you said you had on it?
Archer's Tempo is one of the options, but the other option is Explosive Head. So I'm running Explosive Head plus Rampage, because if that initial shot doesn't get him, the explosive head does. See what I'm saying?
Nice.
Archer's tempo is more like for bosses to let you go faster and faster and faster. But when you're fighting multiple adds, you don't want Archer's tempo. You really want like the explosive head.
Oh, the reason I asked is I'm looking at Dim and I see I have one with the exact same role on it. So maybe I'll try that out and play with it this week.
They all have the same role. The only difference between them is the masterwork. That's why I found one that has the draw time masterwork.
Okay. I went to look because I've got like 57 subtle calamities. Like it gives me that bow all the time, but I was like, I don't know if I have a
subtle calamity is pretty good too.
I've got four of those currently, but one arsenic bite. That's why I was like, do I even have one of them? Have I even seen this stupid thing?
Like the subtle calamity that I ended up keeping. That's not it. Hold on. Where's it at? Right here. Right. It's the best one I've gotten so far, but it's still not the role I want. It's got Firefly. It's got Archer's Tempo, which I really want. I want that to be, Rampage. And then I've got a Draw Time Masterwork. So if I can get Rampage and Firefly with the Masterwork for Draw Time, I'd be in a good spot.
Isn't the Arsenic Bite the only bow that you can get the ornament on from when you pre-ordered?
Wait, hold on. I pre-ordered Destiny 2. I never got a thing for that, dude. I was wondering why, after all this time, I still haven't gotten the thing for that.
If you just go on the ornament section of it and look, it'll be there. It's just unlocked when you pick up the bow.
Bungie says no.
Bungie says no. Correct. Bungie says no, but I pre-ordered that. Because I got all the other pre-order bonuses, dude. I got all the what do they call that? It was a special title to people that I pre-ordered when it first came out.
Whale?
No. No.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Probably glitched out or something. I probably got rid of it before we had the section to get our stuff back, and now it's just gone forever, most likely. Oh, for the subtle calamity, I just looked it up. You actually can't get Firefly and Rampage because they come up in the same slot. So I'd be looking for explosive head with Rampage or explosive head with Firefly for that role, right? So, I mean, in my opinion, the one that I have is almost God tier. But instead of that Arch's Tempo, if I had the explosive head, I'd be good. Very, very good. And hold on. While we're on the topic of bows, especially if you're using a hunter, if you have those gloves on that let you hold your bow, I really should learn the names of these things. Like when I go to recall it at that time, I can't remember. Any other time, I'll have it. But when I need to know it, I blank out.
The Oathkeepers.
If you have the Oathkeepers with any bow, especially the exotic Void Bow, the exotic Arc Bow, and the legendary Arsenic Bite or the Subtle Calamity, it's so good. It's so good, man. That's the only other exotic I'll use if I'm not in a raid besides the Orpheus Rigs, right? I know Orpheus Rigs are so OP, most hunters never take them off, but don't sleep on the Oathkeepers, especially when you use Le Monarque. Right? Because that thing's dirty. It's so dirty. I've taken it in the Crucible too, and it'll one-tap somebody, get rid of all of their shield and most of their health, and you can finish them off any other way you want. It is super dirty.
And going back to last week where we were talking about the differences with the supers and the subclasses, there's already been a few content creators who have put out builds of armor and weapons. So we'll look at those over the next couple of weeks. But there was one video that caught the attention of quite a lot of people in the community. I don't know if you guys saw it. Asteric, he made a video on the Whisper of the Worm mission. And in the video, he shows that a single Titan can super clear all the enemies in the Whisper mission up to the boss room. And he shows that the recent buff, the Code of the Juggernaut Titan super, showing that you can clear all the enemies from the start all the way to the boss room. He showed that it works really well, especially when combined with the Synthesepts, the exotic gauntlets for the Titan. He used the bottom tree for Striker Titan. The super is a perk that allows you to gain super energy per kill in supers. And in 2.1.4 update, the shoulder charge attack energy cost was reduced and the energy returned changed from every 1 second to every 0.5 seconds, which is what allows it to work. So he ran the Synthesepts purely for the bonus damage to give him 3x buff to the super melee damage when 3 or more enemies are near. And in those rooms, you're surrounded by hundreds.
Yeah.
But I'll link that video in the show notes.
Yeah, this is the perfect. I'm glad someone tried this and made this video, because that was one of my first thoughts, other than, you know, jumping off of high towers with that super. But yeah, you're in such a target-rich environment with the Syntheseps and that super, because I don't remember who made the video last week. You know, I think it was the one of all the super breakdowns we posted, where you can get up to like 16. I think, you know, in a not target-rich environment like this, I think you can have up to like 16, you know, sort of super shoulder charges, because they've dropped the cost to it so much. And just, yeah, being in this environment, this video inspired me to be a better Titan. It was beautiful. I love just being able to go in. You know, people talk about the power fantasies you want to have at Destiny with these supers and these exotics. This is it. You want to go in and just say, I'm here to destroy everything.
Well, the six-shooter had a really good buff to it, too. We talked about it last week. But the six-shooter, the fact that you can have 12 rounds in that bad boy now, oh, my God. It's not as good as the Titan. Clear an
entire room and then the next room. And then look at the boss, and the boss just lays down and says, you got me. I'm done.
You just said you only get 16. You just said you only get up to 16. We can get 12, right?
Right. So up to 16 not, enemies. Yeah, up to 16, but not in this environment. He gets a lot more than 16 between the biotic enhancements that the Syntheseps give you and an environment like this. He's got a lot more than 16 charges, because there's a lot more. I'll have to count in this video, but it's a lot higher than 16. That was just, you know, testing in a private match in the Crucible. But this is he runs through those two rooms in the Whisper of the Worm quest, probably 30 charges. You know, I haven't counted, but it's it's a 4 minute 11 second video, and he's basically supering the entire time. So it's very, you know, similar to those videos people have made before with the Doomfang pauldrons bringing their Titan shields in and wrecking things.
So he clears the first couple rooms. Let me think back to that mission. So after you jump through, you fall through the hole.
Both of those rooms, you know, basically, puzzle. You've got the big room full of Taken and with a couple of the Blights, and then the next big room full of Taken with a couple of Blights. He gets through both of those rooms on the power of one super.
Jeez.
He just wrecks everything.
Yeah.
Just runs up and shoulder charges, and just, you see the super go down and then come back up and go down and come back up as he just destroys more and more things.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that myself, I guess.
Earlier, I ran the Whisper mission. We two-manned it. I had a Legend of Acrius and I had the Ikela shotgun with the breakneck, I think. And we managed to get to the end room with about 5 minutes left and just shotgunned those bosses to death with the Acrius. I mean, I was the only one rocking the Acrius, but Seventh had a shotgun. But we got through it quite easily, and he got his Whisper, so he was quite glad with that. But the buff to the Acrius was well worth it to take that in. Because I was thinking, sit back with my Whisper and do what, you know, other people had done previously and just kind of get the box breathing going. But right. I thought, yeah, I'll try the Acrius. Let's go for this. I mean, it took us three runs to get him through the puzzle, because he'd never done that jump puzzle before. So I was trying to teach him. At one point, I said to him, just follow the red. So where does he go? He follows the black around that first jump puzzle. I was like, where have you got? He'd gone to a point that he'd managed to jump to, but couldn't jump back. So it was like, just wipe it. We'll come out. We'll start again. But again, it's with, I like the fact that you can now do it on any public event. So it can be the Cabal drill, or it could be the Taken Blights. You just have to find that Taken enemy hiding in one of the caves, which is quite nice then.
FYI, not to discourage the Aikilo shotgun, because they are amazing, but you really, really need to get your hands on that threat level. I've got three curated threat levels, man. I
haven't done the raid.
I know you haven't. I'm saying you need to, because that gun is bonkers. Not only is it kinetic, so it gets a base damage buff anyway, but the freaking the one that you get when it's curated, you get the Trench Barrel, of course. You get the Grave Robber. So, like, you start shooting the boss, right? You run out of ammo. What do? You melee a minion, get all your rounds back, and you've just started the buff for the Trench Barrel again. I mean, it is nutty. You can put whatever mod you want in there, too. Plus, it comes with a 10 for stability, I think.
That's good.
Dude, the gun is nutty. It is 100% nutty. We got to get you one of these guns.
When I get a chance, I will run a raid.
All right, Parody, close us out, homie.
He's fallen asleep, isn't he?
I think he has.
No, I was trying to count shoulder charges, and I got up to 80 when you interrupted me.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. What? 80?
Yeah, it's absurd.
It sounds like it.
So this has been Two Titans and a Hunter. You can reach out to us through email at Two Titans and a Hunter, TWOTITANSANDAHUNTER at hotmail.com. We are Two Titans, number two, Titans underscore Hunter on Twitter. You can find us at Two Titans and a Hunter on Facebook. We're also available on YouTube with a beautiful static image until we get our sweet gameplay up and running. You can also join, you know, please subscribe to our podcast. We're on Podbean, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. We're working on iTunes. Pretty much any podcast you got out there, we'll be there. Or just go to twotitansandahunter.podbean.com, grab the RSS feed, throw it into your favorite player, and you've got us in your ears every week. This has been Parody. You can find me, Perotty, on Xbox Live or on Twitter. You've got Night Demon, NiteDemon. Find him on Xbox Live or on Twitter. And you've got Respawn, NO1 Respawns in IRL on Xbox Live and not on Twitter. So don't at him.
Hold on. Until first next of all, week. He just completely trashed that. It's not.
I didn't have it written down in front of me. I thought I could remember it.
You said in INRL, right? So they're going to be putting in INRL.
Nobody's going to be putting in anything. You've not realized that we're broadcasting to about 20 people.
Nobody cares.
Nobody's
about
contacted
you.
Us yet.
Nobody loves you. Do I need to do that again, or did I actually get it right and you're just criticizing my...
No, you actually did get it wrong.
To read your long-ass name that no one cares about because no one's going to talk to you because they can't because you're not on social media. Ha! Oh
my God. Just send Facebook. Us a tweet and just put Respawn in the tweet and we'll pass it on to him. Say goodbye, Respawn.
Goodbye, Respawn.
Bye, Parody.
Bye.